Permanent Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Permanent Footprint, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprint on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you tonight for at least the next hour. So nice to have you all with us, and we got a little bit of a late start. We've got an intern who's taking the reins gradually from Seth, and so I guess they're watching the mushrooms grow tonight. Anyway, Nicholas is doing a great job. We'll call him Nicholas the Intern. Now, we've had interns on Evident Footprints before. They have now been interred. There's a difference. Just a little joke there. Don't take it seriously, folks, especially the engineers. Interesting news coming out, and we're going to be talking a lot about the news today. This afternoon on the TNT Hour, which I host every Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Pacific, we had as a special guest Mr. Bill Cormier, and Bill has a fantastic news website. He basically produces all the news himself. He's a great journalist. And very discerning, figuring out what's going on, and his works have been published on a number of major research websites. And when other folks will publish your stuff, you know you're doing well. It's real easy to get your stuff up on your own website. When others acknowledge it, it's really saying something. And today on the TNT Hour, Bill and I talked about a variety of topics. We talked a little bit about the economy. We did talk about the rash of taserings, and those of you who listen regularly, such as Renee out in Torrance, know quite well that Ken Adachi is very prolific on this topic. He's been writing about it for a number of years, really following this very carefully. I have done a lot of research on it myself, so when you hear us talk about hundreds of taser deaths, we're not exaggerating, and they always seem to be explained away for another cause. I can recall a story, in fact, it's published on my website, Direct Light Productions, of an elderly gentleman in Canada who has sort of a problem hearing, especially when he's under stress. And he was ordered to do something by the police. I think this man was at least 68 years old, which is not all that old, but if you have a disability, especially a hearing disability, it's not an even playing field. And this man was tasered nearly to death, suffered many bruises. Of course, there's a story of a woman who hadn't mowed her lawn, and a police officer knocked on her door, and when she didn't do everything that he ordered her to do, she was knocked down, tasered, suffered bruises and cuts. And this is going on not just with the young people being stopped with traffic accidents, but people who haven't mowed their lawn. This is absolutely insane what's going on. And it's happening in a town near you, folks. In fact, prior to going on the air, tonight's guest
Hi,
and
Peggy
I were
Lee
talking
Taylor
about
hey,
a,
thanks for
a recent
listening to
tasering
Untold
report
on
that I got.
And
there
you
was
can visit
one
my
in Cleveland,
at cdbaby.com,
Ohio, and this was over
a
domestic dispute.
There
was an arrest made, and the guy was tasered.
Now, stay tuned for my next album.
I would guess that they already had him in restraints of some sort when this occurred. That seems to be the preferred method these days, is they get you to where you're totally defenseless and then they torture you. Tasering is nothing but torture. It's an assault. It has to stop. And I guess we're just going to beat this drum as long as it takes to get some national attention to this. People are basically oblivious to that. So, that said, let's bring on tonight's guest. Again, he has been on Evident Footprints in the past, and he will continue to be on, especially if he keeps writing the news like he's writing it. His name is Bill Cormier. Bill, welcome to the show, and how are you tonight?
I'm just fine. Excuse me. Good morning
for those yes,
on the
good
East
morning.
Coast, and good evening for those on the West Coast.
Yes, so nice of you to point that out for us. I know that this has just got to be really shocking you to hear, you know, so many more cases. There are hundreds of them around the U.S. and Canada that are on the web. We're not hearing any of this in mainstream. We expect that because it would thwart their purpose. But what's the general feeling you get? What do we need to do to solve this problem?
Well, from, you know, as you've always said, beginning on a local level with our own sheriff's department, with our own politicians locally, we need to demand, you know, as communities, that tasers are taken out of the arsenal of police officers. They're carrying a weapon that essentially, if a person does have a disability, as you mentioned, or possibly a heart condition they didn't know about, and even people with good hearts have had problems with tasers and have died, it has to start locally, but in the end, it has to go to Congress, and we have to take a weapon out of the hands of the police that is being abused, that is being used to intimidate the American public. And, you know, you just can't have a weapon. What's happening right now is that almost anybody can be tasered to death. And that's a fact. So you have so many instances of police officers that are using this weapon because it's been deemed to be safe by Taser International, and they're using it for almost any reason, and people are dying, and now I don't think I'd be melodramatic to start saying that they're starting to die in droves. You mentioned that there was a tasering in Cleveland, and I pulled it up on the internet and noticed several other cases in Cleveland where there have been deaths from tasers. So it's becoming endemic, and this is now their new toy of choice. I don't know how you'd explain it, and I really can't understand how these officers are justifying what they're doing to the people with these tasers. Women shopping, pregnant women, it just, elderly people, it just doesn't seem to matter. And probably one of the most startling things is that in the research and the article that I'll be publishing tomorrow is that some of the police officers that have gone through the training for tasers, they have to be tased themselves.
Yes, we've seen films of this. Yeah,
they turned around and sued Taser International themselves. Some of the police officers have because of the extreme pain and what they went through.
Yeah, you know, if I could, Bill, there's an analogy I could make that will really sink in with a lot of people because a lot of people watch TV. Now, in the old days, when your TV broke down, and it might be a bad picture tube or a bad tube in the set. Usually, if it was the picture tube, you know, you're talking about a cathode ray tube, and for this type of tube to put out a consistent signal and maintain a constant voltage, the power supply has a capacitor attached to it. Now, our bodies are capacitors. We can hold an electrical charge. And if anyone has ever shuffled their feet across a synthetic carpet of any type and touched metal or touched another person, you can transfer a shock because you hold up a charge. Now, you don't get shocked while you're shuffling around. It's at the point where you ground yourself and make contact with something that that has less of a current flowing through it. So on the back of these TV sets, let's say your TV repairman in the old days would come to your house, he'd take off this sort of pegboard-type screen on the back of the TV that was really there to allow air to escape, the heat, in other words, to escape, and allow cool air to move through these little holes. And as time went on, they started using complete plastic, well, there's the oil companies, complete plastic casing, and they had a prefabricated type of vent, much like a louvered door or a louvered window. And that was just an upgrade, but it gave them a method of building the whole TV set in one cabinet, let's say. And as TVs got smaller or some got larger and they started using different types of TVs, the size of the screen and the depth of the TV dictated what type of electronics. Well, when they got rid of the tubes, they started putting solid-state circuits in there and transistors and power transistors for the sound. All that electricity has to be released at a gradual level. And in the back of the TV set is this huge capacitor. If you saw it, it would look like a big, tall, maybe like a 40-ounce beer can with no writing on it, of course, no label, other than maybe a paper sticker at the top. And there's two poles at the top with leads running off of it. And on that little piece of paper, and usually on the back of the TV set itself with some sort of a sticker, there's a warning, and it says, "Caution, may cause death." I'm paraphrasing it, but usually that's what it said. Now, those capacitors hold exactly the same amount of electricity that these tasers hold. 50,000 volts. Now, if the capacitor on the back of the TV or in the TV can cause death, and this is by accidentally short-circuiting the poles. In other words, if you're in there tinkering around with a metal screwdriver or some type of metal tool trying to remove a circuit board or remove some wires and you accidentally bumped it, it will literally melt the screwdriver. Now, I've seen this happen several times. I've seen careless technicians do this in a workshop environment where they're prepared for these contingencies. So you can imagine what goes through a person's body when that voltage is released, and they're shooting a dart to make the contact. In other words, if the officer holding the taser were to touch the person's body with a probe on the end of that, he would shock himself too. So they shoot this projectile out, which is like a dart. It sticks to them, and the wire that's attached transfers the electricity. This is torture. It's assault, and in many of these cases that have been deemed homicides, it's disgusting that these are overturned. That, you know, a police chief can say, well, you know, he was doing his job like he was taught. Well, what are they being taught? To murder people? You know, so I'm giving you that background, more for the listeners. You may very well be aware of that, but that's exactly what's happening when someone is tasered. You might as well be sticking a screwdriver in the back of a TV set and short-circuiting the capacitor, because it's got the same amount of electricity in it, 50,000 volts.
And it is not safe, and the arguments that it is are just absolutely absurd. So, and it's going to keep going on. But, and I I hate to say it, I link almost everything. We're not going to get anything of substance done in this country until we get rid of Bush and Cheney. With Dennis Kucinich introducing or speaking about a single article of impeachment on Friday, I believe that we have a chance, finally, to get this out in the open and possibly even get the impeachment process started. When it started with Richard Nixon, most people don't remember or they're too young, it wasn't that popular. But when the evidence started coming out in committee hearings and the media covered it, people became outraged. And, you know, he resigned. And I think the same thing holds true for Bush. People now need to call up their local TV stations. They need to email CNN, ABC, NBC. You know, we need coverage of this event coming up, because what we have is a lack of information throughout the United States on the crimes that President Bush has perpetrated against America and the global community in general. And once it becomes common knowledge, once we burst the dam of the mainstream news media, which impeachment hearings could do, then we have a chance of taking back this nation. Now, there's been some alarming events that are seem to be going along with that, which is really interesting. Pat Robertson is back up on his high horse advocating a strike against Israel before the 2008 election. Joe Lieberman at the Hague conference just advocated attacking Iran because God hates Israel's enemies, paraphrasing Mr. Lieberman. And I think that all of this rhetoric is starting to pour out again now, because the impeachment hearings are coming and they realize that they may be in trouble. And the only way, if the ball starts rolling to stop impeachment, is to attack Iran, declare martial law. And that's one of the worries that I have. But this new, these new, things out from Lieberman and Hagee and, Pat Robertson stating that we should attack Iran before the election speaks volumes on how desperate they are to hold on to power.
Go ahead.
You have to be reading a different Bible than I am. I never read in the Bible where it said it was okay to murder, you know, thousands, hundreds of thousands, or millions of people, to bring forth the rapture.
Well, yeah. Now, you know, you brought up a good point, if I can interject something here. You remember,
absolutely.
A few months ago, Pat Robertson was on the air calling for someone to take out Hugo Chavez. Literally, it was something very similar to what Michael Reagan suggested happened to any 9/11 truthers.
Exactly.
And now, if that isn't hate speech, tell me what is. When someone is soliciting the assassination of a person on television, how does one get away with that? Well, you and I haven't talked about this very much when you've been on my show, but there's an aspect of who these people are behind the scenes, and Pat Robertson is one of them. And if you tune into my show Friday, I'm going to be talking about that specific issue, and some people know already what I'm talking about because they've listened to enough shows. But I'm going to be getting into the nitty-gritty of why this insanity is so prevalent. You know, you're dealing with people who are not human beings. They have no souls. And I'm not speaking metaphorically. And it wouldn't surprise me that both of the names of the two people that are continually doing this. You know, I wish John Hagee would talk this much about getting America right, protecting America. But he's on this rampage, and this it's obvious that this is Zionist propaganda.
He's talking,
you know, he's not talking about the Israelites. He's not talking about Judeo-Christians. He's not talking about the Semites. He's converting the words to represent this behind-the-scenes attitude that when you talk about Zionists, you're talking about the Jewish people, and nothing can be further from the truth. Nothing is further from the truth. It's a phrase they actually made up, technically, you know, because those that follow the Hebrew faith historically didn't call themselves Jews. It was the Zionists. And all of these things you're talking about, Bill, you know, you have British Israelism in Christianity. Those are the Zionists that promote that. It involves the intelligence agency, the Mossad. It involves their special forces, which is Sayeret Matkal. Many people haven't heard about that. A lot of people have heard about the Mossad. But this is their version of our special forces. And then you have that aligned with our CIA and the MI6 in Britain. That's what's at work here, you see. And so I just wanted to point that out for anyone that was a bit unclear on that. I'm certain you're fairly familiar with that.
To a large degree, I haven't followed all of the leads everywhere. There's so much news going in so many different directions. I think I'm more alarmed that these new calls for an attack on Iran are coming up as impeachment hearings are beginning to start. And like I said, I believe that it's pure unadulterated desperation. This baloney about the rapture, and people don't realize it, that these pastors who picked up on the rapture, I read the entire series by Tim LaHaye and Jerry B. Jenkins on what in the world was the name of that? I just went brain dead for a moment.
Well, it's only a moment.
We've
had some people that have been brain dead for 2-4 year terms or longer. So don't let it upset you.
But there's nothing in the Bible that speaks about people being raptured, it was the Left Behind series. It was a fictional series about the Book of Revelation. And all of a sudden, fiction turned into fact with several of these pastors. And it's rather absurd for someone that professes a belief in Christ to believe that God needs any help in coming back to the earth again. And it's almost obscene to think that, I mean, would Jesus sanction killing hundreds of thousands or millions of people to hurry up his second coming? I don't think so.
No, and you know, we have separation of church and state. I mean, they teach this when we begin social studies in what, fifth grade?
Or had?
Well, I mean, has it officially been declared null and void? I mean, they're acting like it, but the point I'm making
is... In some regards, I believe it is.
Anytime
taxpayer money is being given to what are called faith-based initiatives, for people that aren't Christians, that is a clear-cut case of taxation without representation.
Yes.
Their tax money is being used to further religious causes. And, you know, it's not like these churches need this money. If you drive around your neighborhood, and we did this just for the heck of it, if you look at the size of the mega churches and these beautiful, monuments, that cost millions of dollars to build, they're absolutely everywhere. And I don't know. I think that their tax-exempt status should fly straight out the window the moment that they become involved in politics.
Yes.
Because that's what our law states.
You know, we have professional sports. What comes to mind? We have professional sports, and we have indoor and outdoor stadiums. Now, I could understand, you know, Billy Graham having a crusade, and he comes into a town, and there's 100,000 people that want to see him, and he's getting up there in his years, and so he's going to speak one time to that group. So they, you know, if they're in Los Angeles, they hold the event in the Los Angeles Coliseum, or in Dodger Stadium, or, you know, some big venue. And
sure.
then you have indoor sports, you know, basketball, arena football, which is occurring in usually the same venues that one or the other sport is responsible for bringing that venue in the first place and paid for by the taxpayers, right? And then these tax-exempt organizations go in there. Of course, these are the 501c3 that have to comply with all these government regulations. Now, it's one thing to report how much money you're receiving. In other words, you're receiving as donations or dues or, you know, from the membership of the congregation of the church. Where did this concept come from that every church now has to be like one of these indoor arenas? You have, you know, Hagee's got a church like that. Robertson has made his church the tube, and I find it rather interesting that he has his CBN network has a window into the Disney Corporation, and that he shows his broadcast on the Disney Channel. To me, that seems to be some kind of conflict of interest there somewhere. Not to mention that we know that Walt Disney himself was a Satanist, and that satanic symbols are worked into all the cartoons, all the cartoon characters, into the songs, into the stories themselves. And there's all kinds of subtle manipulation and mind control going on, and anyone that doubts that, there are websites that go into great detail studying that issue. Just the fact that Walt Disney had his body cryogenically preserved, and if you don't know what that is, he's frozen at a very low temperature in case they can bring him back to life. This is how absurd the people that run these companies are. So you have all these these definite conflicts of interest going on in how they present themselves. And there's no culpability for the things that they say, especially when they're talking about murdering a political leader, or in this case, assassinating one. And then the guy comes on a week later and maybe gives a half-hearted apology, but that's just for show. That's just to keep the money coming in. The corruption is rampant, and these guys, if they're not of another species, they're all under mind control. They're all taught what to say and under what conditions, and they're told what to tell their congregations in the event of a false flag event and to support this insanity that's going on in the government. And they darn well know what they're doing in the government. So, you know, us pointing it out is just underscoring what they already know. The thing they don't like is having it exposed and having it talked about, because it shows the truth, and that is their biggest enemy, is the truth. Can't get around it. So,
the enemy
is
the truth, and that's why that I think that it's so important for people to get behind this impeachment effort and to demand that the mainstream news media, whether it be local, some of the larger cities have reporters that are based in Washington. This can be covered extremely well, and if people demand it, it will be covered. Once the truth gets out and people understand the crimes that have been perpetrated against them, which I'd have to hazard a guess that probably 60% of the American public has no idea of what's actually been perpetrated against them by the Bush administration.
Mm-hmm.
If all of those people become aware of what has actually happened, then impeachment won't be an issue. It'll spread like wildfire. I mean, people will just absolutely be enraged when they understand what's happened to their country, their economy, and how we were lied to, and the many, many felonies that President Bush has committed.
Mm-hmm.
So, now, we're not talking misdemeanors.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I mean, they what do they say? High crimes and misdemeanors. I mean, I doubt if there are any misdemeanors they've committed. It's all, full-blown felonies and treason.
Absolutely.
There's a website address I'd like to give out. I don't know if you have this posted on your site. One of our listeners, Renee, was kind enough to send this in. And it's www.kucinich.us. Now, for the spelling challenged out there, I'm just joking, folks. I'm going to spell Kucinich for you so you get the right website. Again, www.kucinch.us. There's a petition that you can add your name to there. And this is your opportunity to demand an impeachment. And this will be taken to your congressperson from Dennis Kucinich. What it says, sign the official petition for impeachment, and Dennis will personally deliver it to your congressperson. Now, what comes to mind, too, and it's been a number of years, but we had a congressman from Ohio, John Traficant, that was always exposing the corruption.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with him?
Very much so.
Yes. Now, he was, I would guess, he was set up to take a fall, and they put him in prison. And that was to get him out of the way because he was one of the few truth tellers. Now, I don't know his whole history. I really never went down that rabbit hole. But all the signposts of a railroad job were there. He was not given the opportunity to present a defense, as is the case when they want to really remove somebody, short of assassinating them, they'll just remove them, and that's what happened to him.
Crash their plane.
Plane crashes. Paul Weldon was taken out that way during the Clinton administration. Ron Brown was about to turn some major damaging evidence about the Clintons' financial affairs. And they took out a whole plane load of important people to do that. Someone once mentioned that they would take out 10,000 people to get the one that they want. That's how ruthless these people are. And we need to stop the pipe dream of thinking that anyone can become president and that these people are really sincerely you know, taking care of all the issues that really affect our lives. They're only taking care of what takes care of their pocketbook or their wallet. And
they're doing a very good job of doing that.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned there's only one charge he's going to be discussing. This is Kucinich on Friday. He originally presented 35 articles of impeachment, did he not?
Right. On Friday, he's going to present his single article of impeachment concerning the Bush administration's deliberate and unconstitutional lies that led us to war in Iraq. And what he's doing is concentrating Friday on one single act, and up until just a very few months ago, the Iraq war was the issue that concerned Americans the most. That's now been superseded by the economy. However, he's going to concentrate on that one particular issue on Friday, because that is the one issue that is provable, easily provable, and it has caused thousands of American deaths. It's interesting when you look and you try to figure out how many Iraqis have died. If you go to one of our government websites, you'll see a few hundred thousand, yet we know for a fact that we have over 1 million Iraqis that have died. And, you know, if President Bush lied us into war and we have over 1 million people dead, then that equates to war crimes. It's really very simple.
I heard from someone that's got a pretty good fix on this, and this was 3 or 4 months ago. The number of Iraqi dead was over 1.2 million, and there were another 3.5 to 4 million refugees that fled the country.
Absolutely displaced.
And they were reporting some arbitrary figure around 4,800 American soldiers dead, and
that isn't correct.
That is so ridiculously low. It's they said killed in battle in Iraq. They're not counting the ones that they take out of Iraq. Let's say the Ramstein or Ranstuhl or Turkey or in Germany. You know, to another
exactly.
air base somewhere else, or even the ones that come back to the United States. You've got people dying from exposure to depleted uranium, the people dying from the vaccines that they're giving them, because they're using them as guinea pigs for what they're intending to give to us. And I've read and heard countless cases, read about and heard about countless cases of this
and
going on.
And we brought a bunch of that radioactive depleted uranium from Kuwait into the United States.
Into Idaho. They're going to bury it
yeah.
in a landfill in Idaho. What insanity.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure what the difference in burying it in Kuwait or burying it in Idaho has to do with anything. Burying it in one place seems to me to be as good as burying it in another.
Mm-hmm. It really doesn't make any difference. Uranium, nuclear materials like that have a half-life. What is it, 4.5 billion years?
Something like so that is astronomical.
Yeah, so it's not like it's going to affect Kuwait any less or the United States any less if you bury this in one country or the other. I suppose
but
Kuwait
does
that,
generate income for somebody. For
oh,
whoever
yes.
gets the contract for hauling it, because everything that's done, everything that we do over there is based on one thing, or two things, I should say. Number one, of course, is oil, and number two is profit and corruption and giving the contracts to to the friends of the Bush crime family. That's been going on forever. We have billions of dollars that are misplaced. Now, I can understand, you know, when you look at the scope of things, when you talk about a few million dollars being displaced, that's serious. But how you displace or lose billions of dollars is just mind-boggling. And that's our money. You know, and we desperately need it.
Well, you know, and they're making this money out of thin air, and really it's money that they don't have. So they're giving some of our infrastructure up every time they receive a check, you know. And if it's, well, we need $100 billion, okay, fine. So they print out the money, and then we pay it back, and they don't want us to know this. This has been repeated ad nauseum on thousands of radio shows. We're not the only ones talking about this, but there's always that listener that's hearing this for the first time. And it bears repeating. It bears reminding everyone, even if they do know about it. It's about time that we wake up and pay attention to this, because, if the economy implodes, it could be a good thing. In a way, because that gives us the opportunity and the necessity to create another system. Obviously, their system is not working. Their own creation is not working. Let's make one. Let's have our own system. Why not? What do we have to lose? We've lost everything anyway.
I was going to say right now, we don't have anything to lose because it's already basically been lost. We're spending other people's money, and these countries that are loaning this money know that at some point in time, when we do wind up defaulting on the loans, that they can claim their equity. And the equity, as you mentioned before, are highways and critical parts of our infrastructure. And just the thought that those pieces of the United States are being sold to foreign interests, to me, is treason in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how can you sell America?
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I read a report that the Great Lakes belongs to the World Bank.
Well, that's good news.
And think about that, folks. Our congressmen allowed that to occur. Or did they? Did they even know it was happening? But and then you wonder why the Great Lakes are polluted. You wonder why the economic system, the financial basis of the world is polluted. It's the same reason, the ownership. The fish stinks from the head down. No pun intended.
It does, well, but we have a chance, though, and the chance is that people will sign the petition, as you mentioned, will tell people about it, and like I said, there are cracks beginning to show in the mainstream news media.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, the latest, not the latest, because you pointed out the latest, taser death took place in Cleveland, but the one prior to that was front page CNN news, which was quite startling to see. And there's beginning to become cracks in the mainstream news media, and I'm hoping that, you know, just like you get a crack in the dam and the water starts pouring out, that it's going to turn into an absolute flood of information. And if they cover these impeachment hearings and these allegations are made and substantiated, then people are going to want answers. And that's what we need, desperately. You know, we need people to get involved. We need people to demand to know what's going on. And if the mainstream news media will report this, as they did with the Nixon impeachment hearings, that's when things start happening, when people start to really understand what's happened. And what President Nixon did in comparison to Bush and Cheney is comparing shoplifting to murder, as far as I'm concerned. There's such a wide variance in the crimes that it's absolutely unbelievable. Bush makes Nixon look like a choir boy. Yet there he sits.
Yeah.
In defiance,
let me ask you, if I can get you to make a prediction based on what you see, and you know, I'm not going to hold you to it, but what's your sense of what's going to happen on Friday? Obviously,
Pelosi and Conyers are trying to downplay Kucinich's efforts, okay, and they still insist that impeachment is off the table. Both Conyers and Pelosi are basically bought and paid for by AIPAC, and the relationship with AIPAC has been very thoroughly disclosed. And in fact, if you go to Alex Jones on Truth News, or even my, in fact, they're quoting one of my articles in regard to that. About AIPAC, and it's the name of the article is "There's an Ugly Reason Democrats Won't Support Articles of Impeachment, AIPAC," and it's quite simply, you know, the Israeli lobby that has bought off and is controlling most of our Congress. You know, and you're not anti-Semite if you despise AIPAC. I have supported the Jewish people constantly in several articles that I've written, but I despise AIPAC. You know, when our support is bought rather than earned, we have a problem.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah. Now, how is it that two members of Congress, I know that Nancy Pelosi is the Speaker of the House, but how is it that the Speaker... you know, my understanding of the Speaker is that the Speaker basically presides over the proceedings, but you know, we're going to have a dictator in the White House and another one in Capitol Hill? I mean...
That's essentially what we've got. You know, you've got Pelosi and Hoyer, and both of them are you know... Pelosi made a ridiculous statement last week or the week before last and said that the reason that she will not support impeachment is because she's bipartisan. Now, let that roll around in your head a little bit.
Yeah,
she won't support impeachment because she's bipartisan. I fail to understand what being bipartisan has to do with allowing someone to pursue a criminal agenda, stand in contempt of Congress, the Constitution, and the rule of law. International law, the Geneva Convention, everything.
Well, can you imagine a major crime, let's say, you catch a bank robber. This guy has stolen $10 million from a bank. And he's in front of the judge, and the judge says, I'm not going to try this case because I'm bipartisan.
That's what's happening, and that's an excellent analogy. it's absolutely an absurd statement to make. It makes no sense. And for lack of anything else, you know, I wanted to send her a pair of chocolate shoes because she stuck both her feet in her mouth. As far as I'm concerned, they might as well taste good.
Oh, just give her a pair of bowling shoes. those would be pretty ripe too.
Yeah. So, you know, we've got, but you know, there's, as long as NSA is wiretapping our Congress people, we have to remember that our Congress, our congressmen and our congresswomen are human beings, some of them.
Some of them, very good point.
They make mistakes. They're not unblemished, and there's very, very few that are. The few that are the ones that have nothing absolutely to hide, that can't be blackmailed, are the ones that are constantly speaking out. Waxman, Feingold, Kucinich, Ron Paul, those are the people that are speaking out. All of the others are, I believe, are being muzzled the same way that Hoover did, and they're, you know, they're doing their bank accounts through what they've learned about their sexuality. Anything that they can dig up on them, they're using to blackmail members of Congress. You know, add a little bit of anthrax to that, and you've got a Congress that's scared to death of this president.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so you're, now as far as your prediction, and of course, you know, I'm not going to hold you to that, or at least your insight as to what you see happening, you're going to anticipate Pelosi and Conyers then, John Conyers, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, basically trying to quash this whole idea, and then...
Absolutely.
And then, you think anyone is going to come to Kucinich's aid in this at all? Have you heard anything about anyone who has expressed?
So far, we've got seven Republicans that have broken rank, and that was interesting. This one is too close to call. A lot of it depends on the American people. A lot of it depends on people like you, and I can't tell you how much that I appreciate the people that are, and I think risking their lives is a honest statement by, when you tell the truth in this country now, the terrorist watch list has grown to over 1 million names now.
Yeah, but that's a misnomer, of course. We want to parenthesize that, you know.
Yes, absolutely. It's the Department of Homeland Security has obviously mixed up terrorism with patriotism. And
mm-hmm.
If you're a patriot, you wind up finding yourself on the terrorist watch list.
Yeah.
So, and if you think about that, over 1 million names, and I just wrote about it a few days ago, there's 300 million people in the United States. If you take and you compensate for the children and the elderly, which is what, maybe 25%, 30%?
Oh, it could even be... Yeah, it could even be 40 or 50%, you know. I don't know the exact demographics right now. We have so many people skewing the numbers with all the sneaking across the borders, you know.
Sure.
Who can count?
So you may have as many as one out of every 150 adults that are on the terrorist watch list.
Well, let's get the number up to 300 million. Okay.
And then
we'll,
amen.
You know, we'll all be on the list. You know,
and that's the way it needs to be.
You know, I had another thought while you were talking and describing this whole thing. Imagine that you're in court, you know, and you're asked to put your hand on the Bible and swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God. Yet God has been taken out of our schools. God has even been taken out of our church. And God has been taken out of virtually every aspect of what he was permitted, and I use that word, permitted to be mentioned in whether it's the Pledge of Allegiance or some function going on. You know, they used to have a chaplain. I don't know if they do anymore on the Senate, you know, when they open the Senate.
Yes, they did. I remember them.
Yes.
I'm not sure if he's still there.
And I'm trying to think of his name. Kennedy, was it? James Kennedy, was it? Was the chaplain at one point. And I think he's an Episcopalian minister, if I'm not mistaken. However, can you imagine now that you take this oath and the judge is going to say, well, I'm not going to have the truth here. Or better yet, we'll put you on the terrorist list because you're telling the truth. I mean, you have these dichotomies going on here, you know. In fact, they don't allow you to tell the truth in court. And it's the court itself that doesn't tell the truth. It doesn't represent the truth. It's not interested in finding the truth. So, you know, we're in a pickle here. And people are going to have to wake up to this. By the way, and this is not a commercial, tomorrow evening my guest is Dr. Sheila Mannix, who is the founder of the Illinois Family Court Accountability Advocates. Now, this is a nonprofit foundation that she started after her kids were illegally abducted from her because she went to the courts to seek enforcement of her divorce decree. They took her children, gave them to the abusive husband, began assigning guardian ad litem or a psychologist, and then they begin drugging the kids. The kids were driven almost to commit suicide. One actually tried committing suicide. Now, I don't say this to defame these children, but this is going on all over the country. And they're criminally impoverishing people through the court system. They're going after the spouse that has money, the spouse that wants the children, and is willing to fight till the day they die to get those kids back. And this is nothing but a criminal enterprise. And the judges are in above their hairline, way above their hairline. Judges have retired, taken early retirement. Some judges have died. And I'll tell you, under very suspicious causes. This is going on all over the country. We've had some recent attorneys deputy attorneys general that were looking into some of these shady dealings going on, and a few of them died. Very suspicious deaths in the same week. Two of them died.
Well, working we're in the midst of a constitutional crisis right now.
Oh, we're, yes.
Like I said, we're at the tipping point, and something has to give, and it has to give now. I'm very, very worried that an attack on Iran will supersede everything. By the same token, an attack on Iran, even though President Bush may try to declare martial law, it may result in his immediate impeachment. Does not have to take months, and that's a misnomer and a fact that most people don't realize. Impeachment can take as quick as a week or two or less, if that is the will of the Congress. If they're angry enough, if they've been pushed hard enough, and if they actually want him impeached. And that's a fact. It does not have to take months. It gets drug out for months because of the gerrymandering between lawyers, et cetera, et cetera. But when you have a real issue, the European Union stated just a very few days ago that they would not support an attack on Iran by the United States and Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So we are being from a world standpoint, we're standing alone with Israel on this matter.
And oh, yes.
And even Britain is not in favor of attacking Iran.
Well, that's true. Now, if you look at what happened when countries started pulling out of Iraq and Afghanistan, think about this for a moment. This just flashed through me, and I was, when they put the bin Laden tapes out, it's a code. It's an international code that there's an event that's orchestrated to take place. And they would put out a bin Laden tape and then an al-Zawahiri tape. And with simple numerology, you could predict a false flag event. Now, after Britain pulled out, I think first it was Spain pulled out.
Their president. Their president actually lost the election.
Well, not only that, they had the Madrid train bombings. Then you had Great Britain pulled out, and you had the subway and the bus bombings, and one right in front of Tavistock Institute of all places, and then Indonesia pulled out, and you had the Bali bombing. So, I'm thinking it was Indonesia or Australia. It was one of those countries, but you had the Bali nightclub bombing that took place. Okay. Basically, that's their response. You know, you don't side with us. This is what's going to happen to you. So who is behind that? Who is this all about? Well, Israel is constantly in the picture, you see. And the only country standing behind Israel is the United States. Why? Because the United States has been taken over by Zionists, by Nazis, and by communists. Now, the Russians have an interest in things because they have money due them. See, behind the scenes, there's a lot of money that's supposed to be paid out. And this is a part of the crimes that Denis Kucinich should actually be talking about. I don't think I would bet my life that it's not in the 35 articles that he presented to Congress last week. So.
It wasn't. I listened, to each and every one of them in great detail.
I listened to maybe 15 or 16 of them and I had other things I had to do, Russia and other countries are owed quite a bit of money. So these countries are not going to, you see, this will be nothing but a diversion for them to keep holding on to the money and keep the laundering schemes going on and just try to create a conflict. And once it starts, okay, so they have to drop a few nukes on each other. It's going to break out into all out war, and they get what they want anyway because they would prefer to produce some kind of false flag event here. They've been trying to do that. And Israel's behind that as well.
But we're all waiting for it.
Yeah, this is not news to the people on the alternative media.
No, we're all waiting for it, wondering where it's going to happen, if it's going to happen. And I don't believe that if there's a false flag attack that the people are going to go for it. I don't think that they're going to, I don't think they're going to be fooled again.
How many times do you need to hear that statement replayed that our president made? There's nothing wrong with a dictatorship as long as I'm the dictator.
As long as I'm the dictator?
Yeah.
Yeah, he made that statement. But the problem is and from what I've been able to ascertain, is, Bush is, I don't know what to think of Bush. He's Dick Cheney is the one that's running the shadow government.
And yeah, he's running Bush. It for Bush's father, and for Henry Kissinger, and for the CFR and the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg Group and the Committee of 300. We could go on and on naming all the people,
exactly.
and the non-people.
But there's, like I said, our economy is impacting the entire world right now. So we're winding up with a situation now where something has got to give. And it's reaching ahead, and let's just hope that it's not an attack on Israel.
You mean on Iran,
because if that happens, it can only happen under unless Bush is completely insane. The only way that we can attack Iran is with tacit approval from China and Russia. And that would equate to us probably giving up Taiwan and letting China annex Taiwan, and God knows what we'd have to give up to Russia to be able to do it. But the Russians have stated that if we attack Iran, we attack them. And that was some months ago. So, you know, we don't need World War III, and people need to understand how serious this is. These are things that haven't been reported on the mainstream news media, and that's where Americans are in the dark, and they need to be aware how serious and how close World War III actually is if we make the mistake and attack Iran.
Now, we came pretty close a couple of weeks ago. There was an event that was reported during a live show on the Q Factor. And, you know, I've tried looking into that. I can't get much of anything beyond.
Was that the firing on the ship?
No, this was a missile launched. It was seen in Bozeman, Montana, launched from the general area of North Dakota. I've talked to a few people that confirmed that that actually occurred out of nowhere, out of nowhere. A triangular craft came out and shot the missile. Now the missile had been,
and unbelievable as it may sound, it was reported on Larry King Live.
Was it?
It was on the mainstream news media, and they showed this triangular vehicle that you're speaking of.
Mm-hmm.
The missile was traveling at 8,000 miles an hour, and
mm-hmm.
this little vehicle actually shot. It went up, caught up with the missile, went to one side of it, hit it with a beam of light, went to the other side of it, hit it with a beam of light, a laser or something, and then got directly in front of it and hit it with another beam. Now, that kind of boggles the imagination. If you think about a missile that's flying at 8,000 miles an hour and you have a craft so fast that it's negotiating speed where it goes from side to side and actually gets in front of the missile and, you know, dances around it like it's a toy.
Well, I missed
that
broadcast.
Oh, it's you can find it on YouTube, and I think everybody should watch that. And the United States military is claiming that UFOs have interfered with several of our weapons systems.
Well, our government has UFOs. So whose UFOs are they talking about? Are they grays?
Well,
are they
true.
Reptilians? You know, Are they the old Nazi vrills that they had back in World War II? I've got some of those photos on my website. So, you know, well, what I had heard was they shot this one down as if to say to the Soviets, look at what we can do. We can launch this missile and we can shoot it from a craft. We don't even need to shoot it from space. And I had heard also a parallel to this story that a triangular craft, likely ours, was shot down over Norway shortly after.
Mm.
Now, the craft that shot down this missile, I was told, was flying over the East Coast in the region of Nova Scotia. And in a split second, it was on the scene. So, you know, these are hyperdimensional craft we're talking about. And the craft was close.
That's what I was speaking about, cracks in the mainstream news media. When I watched Larry King interviewing these Air Force people, I almost fell out of my chair, because to even think that we would ever see something like that on the mainstream news media, I considered it to be close to an impossibility.
Well,
but there it was.
The only reason I could think at this point is that they're somehow trying to keep a lid on this and give us a hint that we might be under an alien attack from outer space. And what we need to be looking at what's going on down here. I'll say that much.
It's possible that they're not going, if you do believe in UFOs, which I do, I mean, they're, you know, there's just too much evidence that shows, and I'm not talking about current evidence, okay? I'm talking about back to the Mayan culture, the pyramids in Egypt.
They've been around for thousands of years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you can see evidence of them out of the Mayan runes. They pulled out of a little gold jet that they recreated it. And it actually flew. It was aerodynamically perfect. And that was out of the Mayan runes, which are you know, so we know that they exist. And it may be a possibility that they're not going to, you know, I mean, maybe it's wishful thinking, that they're not going to let us destroy ourselves with nuclear weapons. I don't know. Nobody knows. I do know that it was on Larry King and that they showed the actual, the footage of it. I've seen it and it was mind boggling, and I think that it's something that everybody should see. It's, and that's the problem. You have to have the time to be able to put in the research, to be able mm-hmm. to read, and find all this stuff, and you know, and I would have missed that myself if it wouldn't have been for a YouTube video.
Yeah. Now, do you know the title it's under, or I suppose I could take some guesses, but do you know a specific title or category?
No, I don't. But I'll tell you what, I can have it for you in just a moment. Probably, I would think.
Okay, well, while you're doing that, I'm going to get us ready to sign off the show. We still have a minute or so, but I want to thank the listening audience that has been so gracious to send in emails and request certain guests. We have some really good guests lined up. As I mentioned a moment ago, tomorrow night's guest is going to be Dr. Sheila Mannix, and we're going to be talking about the rampant corruption in the Chicago courts and the links to organized crime in other parts of the country. This is documented, and it's in the courts now, and it's something that if you know someone whose family has been broken apart illegally by a corrupt Justice Department, then you're going to want to listen to tomorrow night's show. Friday night, we have our regular guest, scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher, Jim Murray. Now, next week, on the 28th, which is Monday, I have Mr. George Green. He's a former investment banker, real estate developer, and he's an ET contactee, and he's been writing. He's also a publisher. He's been publishing some information that he's been given to share with us. And this is with all of humanity. So you're going to want to hear the interview with George Green on Monday. Ken Adachi will be up next Tuesday. And Lord knows what we'll be talking about, but it's always interesting.
Whoops. Darn it. I'm sorry. I got to turn this down. My apologies.
Sounds like you're on a site with automatic music. And or that's the video. Winfrey will be with us on Wednesday the 30th. We'll be talking again about the Ra Group and the Council of the Elohim. And then I've got an opening on the 31st. I may have a guest. I'm waiting for a response back. And if not, I'll do it alone. And then Jim Murray will be with us on the at the end of the week on Friday, the 1st of August. And we'll be, again, talking about some of this way out stuff that we're touching upon tonight. This is actually refreshing, Bill. Okay, were you able to find that?
No, I wasn't. I found some stuff from 2007, and I find that kind of odd. I hope it hasn't been purged from YouTube,
mm-hmm.
because that's where I first saw it, and it was absolutely astounding.
Well, maybe we can get Don Newsom to look for it, and
it. Trust me, it'll be posted on my site. I think that this is something that, that people need to see. So during the, and if it's still available, I will find it and post it.
Okay. Now this is a triangular craft. This is not crash dummies, weather balloons,
nope.
or swamp gas, right?
Nope. This is a triangular craft. And we're speaking about something, like I said, that was traveling at 8,000 miles an hour, and this craft, went from side to side, got in front of it. It exhibited maneuverability and speed that is absolutely not terrestrial.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't, to the best of my knowledge and belief, neither the United States nor Russia has a craft that's capable of that maneuverability, that speed, and the speed that it exhibited was, it's off the chart. We have no idea.
Well, I've heard from numerous sources that we do have that capability, that they've actually had the cloaking technology for a number of years. In fact, they have human cloaking technology. Often you see the president walking around, it appears, alone, and he's surrounded by Secret Service agents that are using that technology. So don't believe us, folks. Do the research. That's all we're telling you. That's all we're asking you.
It's
well,
there.
Bill, we're out of time. It's been a fun show, and I'm going to have you back again if you'd grace us with your presence.
Oh, I'd love to. I think that... we're going to have a lot to talk about after this Friday. You know, we all need to hope, but we all need to act along with that hope. You know,
yeah.
Just hoping that someone else is going to do it isn't going to get us anywhere.
Yeah, that's true.
We need to take it upon ourselves to sign the petitions, to ask our friends to sign the petitions, and to explain to everybody. You know, something, and very, very quickly, I'm going to say this. I can't remember his name, Slobodan Radovich or somebody or whatever.
Milosevic.
Yes, was arrested, okay? An international war criminal. And one of the interesting things that happened was that their currency immediately took an uptick. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So... we should take a lesson from that. If Bush and Cheney are impeached, the dollar will immediately gain in strength. The cost of gas will go down. The cost of oil will go down. And that's one of the very first things that we have to do to bring our economy back.
We've got to get rid of this fiat usury system that we're under and have it be in compliance with Basel II, which is a gold-backed currency. That's what the
Absolutely.
Rest of the world's doing.
Well, and we need it. But it was just interesting, though, that their currency immediately took an uptick, and it gained in strength. And the same thing will happen here. And with our economy, you know, with the dollar essentially getting ready to fail... the one thing that could save that dollar, and for all the listeners out there that are worried about the economy, that are losing their homes and everything else, impeachment is one of the most important things in saving our economy. So, yep. You know, if for no other reason, for your own peace of mind and your own financial stability, impeachment is a necessity.
Yes. Well, again, I'll remind the listening audience to go to www.kucinich.com and also pay Bill Cormier's website a visit, justanothercoverup.com. It's got some great news articles there, really good articles. Got some videos, everything. And, Bill, I want to thank you for being on Evident Footprints tonight. We got to go now. I look forward to the next visit. And thanks for what you do.
Oh, it was my pleasure. It was absolutely my pleasure, sir.
And I'm gonna put in a word for you. You didn't ask me to do this, but anyone out there that would like to see this gentleman's website continue on, he can use some help. If you're in a position to contribute to the costs of running a website and bringing this information forward, by all means, feel free to visit his site. I don't know if you have anything there, because I know you're not really soliciting contributions, but...
I've tried, but, you know, I've got a donate button up there, but the people I'm speaking to and that you're speaking to, we're mm-hmm. the people without money. I live on a Social Security income, and I keep this site up through my own efforts, and it's, you know, I'm disabled, and this is what I believe I have to do as an American to try to help our country.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I could use some help, but I don't actively solicit it because I'm preaching to the choir, is the way I feel about it. You know, people are hurting now. There's actually sites that are going down and going out of business. Liberals only went away.
Yeah. Well, I just thought I'd put that out there, and if anyone feels moved and they're in a position to help you out, I see the button on the right side there, right under the picture that you've got, right under your homepage title. So yep. justanothercoverup.com.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you too, Bill. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com. Our special guest, Bill Cormier, will be back with us again in the near future. Visit his website, justanothercoverup.com. Special thanks go out to Donald Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Also, Seth Hendrick, chief engineer and the boss of Nicholas the Intern. Thanks, guys, for great sound tonight. And I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.